All right. As fascinating as that is, let's switch over to Dr. Judy Wood. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, hello there. I have to first say that the following program presents the opinions of its producer and guests and does not necessarily reflect an opinion of WGDR, its licensee, Goddard College. Okay. So, you can give a brief introduction to yourself and what you have discovered, and we'll go from there.
I'm Judy Wood, and 9/11, things didn't look right to me. And I was scratching my head, but, you know, I asked various other colleagues, other faculty members at Clemson University, where I'm a former professor, and they looked at me like I was nuts. And pretty soon you get the idea that you're not supposed to talk about it. It's just a social thing that happened. But after a couple of years, I decided I had to talk about it. Things were just getting too out of hand. And so I started looking into more of what happened on 9/11. And it's like peeling a banana or an onion. Is layers upon layers of interesting scavenger hunt for information. But what I ended up doing is starting over, looking at the data. Just looking at the data to see what the data tells me. Instead of hearsay and rumor, and because memories aren't all that good. People think they remember something, but then someone else reminds them of their memory, and who knows how it is. So looking at what the data has to say, I figured out a whole lot. And that's what I'd like to share.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And in particular today, I'll let people know that the what they may not have heard of, even if they have heard my show consistently for the last 6 years, they may not have heard of the information that Dr. Wood has come up with regarding the apparent disappearance of debris from the site and from a parking lot where there are cars that seem to have missing sections of them for no reason. Almost as if a thief decided to take this door and that engine and that taillight and
blocks.
Yeah, and just yeah, and so that you've got this massive question mark that adds up to a big question because why would this be? And so I should tell people now, if you want to follow along with the discussion in the most profitable way, go to drjudywood.com. drjudywood.com. And if you want to follow along listening to the radio and watching the website, Dr. Wood will take you through the images and try to explain possible reasons for them being the way they are and point out a few things to you that you might not otherwise have noticed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's give people a minute to get to drjudywood.com. And I will try to say that. You can remind me to say that periodically during the broadcast. Oh, and I also have to remember to push play on my recorder. That way we can actually record this.
Today's show is listed at the top of the yellow box, the news section, which is just below the pictures. And I have various links in there for direct connection to the pages we'll be talking about.
Okay, well, I have just told this machine to record, and it is not doing it. So, I don't know whether it's taking time to accept my orders or whether there's something wrong.
That's okay. I think we have a recorder. A friend of mine said he would be able to record the show.
Okay.
So it's not all lost. I hope Andrew's there. A fellow in England.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful because this baby here doesn't seem to be doing that. Everything seems to be correct. I will try record. Okay, I have pushed record analog. Now it seems to be working better. It's going through a setup process. Well, let's just start doing what we're going to be doing anyway. And again, it's drjudywood.com.
No S. It's a four-letter last name.
Right, no S. And I have to correct people all the time on that one. I guess, do you want to take us to the image of the parking lot first?
There's in that top section, there's three columns. The two on the right have related links. And in the middle column, you'll see it says Toasted Cars.
Okay.
Or you could click on the police car up above.
Okay. Now, you're not talking about the right along the top where it stars Star Wars and bottom and billiard balls and press, not that part.
If you look at these billiard balls and there's Star Wars, and below that's molecular dissociation, below that's a yellow box that says news.
I see. It's not below it, but it's on the same...
No, down below those two rows of pictures.
Oh, okay. Down below the two rows of pictures, news. Yes, I see it.
All right.
And Toasted Cars.
Yeah.
Click on Toasted Cars.
And you should get a new window.
All righty.
The video you can watch in your leisure.
Mm-hmm.
Right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was that night. And the rescue worker is talking about all of the toasted cars around and how the buildings really aren't on fire much, but how these cars are, you know, melting in weird
mm-hmm.
ways.
Okay, so I'm on that page now, and on the right it says more toasted cars, and on the left it says shortcuts.
Just scoot down a little bit below mm-hmm. the Diane Sawyer video.
Okay.
And here's the police car.
I see peeling, other, lower, FDR, towed, burning cars, missing. Whoops, now it just hit. Now the video has just come on. I didn't tell it to. It just came on.
Oh, maybe you can stop it.
I can, or I can go back. I don't know why I would do that, though. That's funny.
Yeah, I can't click there. But if you scroll down a little bit, the introduction.
Introduction, got it. And then there's a car there.
Yeah, that car meant a lot to me. When I looked at that, it's over on FDR Drive, and right mm-hmm. below it is a map. And you can see where FDR Drive is
mm-hmm.
relative to the WTC.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Wow.
It's way over there.
Yeah, right.
It's River.
Mm-hmm.
Why are all these cars over there? Well, some folks don't want to believe that this happened over there, and they say, well, they're towed there. Well, there was 1,400 toasted cars.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fit them all adjacent to the building, so they're all over Manhattan.
And so what we're looking at under the map is also FDR Drive.
Yeah, it shows there's several of them here from FDR Drive, but this... When you see the police car in the background, you see the East River.
Yes.
I think that's Queens over there, or...
On the other side of the river?
Yeah.
Right there, it's...
Brooklyn's to the right.
Well, I forget which is which. It's been so long since I lived on
okay.
there. But there's Brooklyn, and there's Queens, and then there's Staten Island on the other side, and then...
Right. But if we look mm-hmm. at this police car, what's bizarre is the rim around the windows is flopped over. And the door looks wilted. And there's no front tire. Back
okay.
tire is okay.
Now, this is the first picture of the melted car right above the map we're talking about. Okay.
And so, notice there's no door handle.
Yeah, that's interesting. The door handle's gone.
That's a trend. There's no door handles on the... Toasted cars.
Okay, and so we're assuming that these cars were indeed toasted while they were sitting on FDR Drive.
Yes, but it doesn't really matter a whole lot because something happened to them somewhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if people want to argue about that as a distraction, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see skid marks on the pavement where they were scooched over as though they piled up on the roadway and then were just moved over the edge. Why mm-hmm. would they tow them there?
Mm-hmm.
Lay them out all over the place, and then come scoop them up a day later. Why did they store beams there?
Yeah, and where were they? If there were that many, where were they taken from?
All over the place.
Because this particular car, with its number, could easily be traced to where it was at the time of 9/11.
Correct.
Have you done that yet?
No, but there's so many of them that I'm comfortable knowing that there's, you know, 1,400 toasted cars that were picked up, and those are ones that were had enough left that they could be counted as a car, because there's some that nothing was left much of them. It, like, they just almost disappeared, just turned into dust. And if you look at 65A, you can see there's, you know, a car that's left to it that's over by the outer wall, closer to the river. And there's a car in front of the police car that's covered with dust.
Okay,
my... So if somebody wants to say it was towed there, they towed it there and then they dumped dust on it.
This mouse, believe it or not, is not working because it won't take me to there. I finally got it to the right side of the picture. Okay, so now I'm below the map, and I'm looking at 65A.
You see the car on the far left that's covered with dust.
Yes. So why is there dust on a car on FDR Drive?
Yeah.
And
there's dust went all over the place. I believe that car was there when that dust landed on it.
Okay, so which implies that the wind was blowing in that direction and there was dust everywhere.
Everywhere. And if you look at 65C, you see, I believe it's under the Brooklyn Bridge entry. You have a bunch of toasted cars. What I mean by toasted is it's like it's toast. It's history.
Yeah, okay. And one of them looks like something landed on it.
There's some that are crumpled up more than others. Some that are missing wheels.
Now, look at the road itself. The road itself has tracks on it, deep tracks of tractor type, of like tractor tracks. I mean, that's deep. It's as if the road is covered with a half an inch or an inch of something.
What's interesting is they watered it down.
Well, on the right, it looks like something's watered down, but as we're looking at the road itself, it doesn't look, it just looks like somebody driving over dust.
But it's wet dust, I believe.
Okay, well, it could well be. But the point is that there's something on that road that isn't normally there.
Oh, yes. And it looks like off to the right, on the side by where the cars are, it almost looks like it's been treated for snow. And that's dried up, you know, calcium chloride or something. It looks like it's not regular residue. That whitish kind of color.
Yeah, and everything in the photo, even though it's a regular color photo, is gray. It looks as if, except for the top, very top left where you see some trees way over on the left, everything in this photo is gray.
And you see a blue car, the sides of it, underneath the bridge.
Well, I can hardly tell it's blue, but
yeah,
now that you mentioned it, it's kind of a sky blue.
Yeah, it's in the shade.
Yeah. And that's got dust on it.
Further down, figure 66.
Okay.
That's a parking lot that's a couple blocks from the North Tower.
Okay, the mouse is not working again. Ah, it's driving me crazy. It just stops in the middle. The little finger thing that points, it won't move to the right regularly. Every now and then
it needs to be re-energized.
Maybe. But it just doesn't want to. Why is this doing this? It won't go to the one place that I need it to go to, which is to that little arrow. There we go. Now I've got it. But it doesn't want to do it. Okay. So now I've got figure 66 and 67.
And figure 66 is a toasted car lot. That's about a couple of blocks away from the North Tower.
Okay.
It's north and west, a few blocks. What's interesting, we'll see later, is that there's a lot of unburned paper in between.
I see a little on the right side of that photo. There it looks like unburned paper. And the seat is in perfect condition in figure 67.
Right, that's over on FDR Drive.
Oh, okay.
But what's interesting is this. It's all different, each one. 68, he's got a brand new wax job in the back end that still looks good.
Wow.
But there's nothing inside that car.
Wow. The headlights are gone. The bumper is sort of gone. The grill looks gone. And the front seat looks gone. It looks like somebody just scooped out everything in the front of the car, and the back half looks brand new, like somebody attached it.
Yeah, a new wax job.
Oh, but look, the trunk is up, and yep. You can read the back of the car.
2723.
I can read, well, it's upside down, so yeah, I can read 20-something 23. Yeah, wow. That's
and then over on the right of that, figure 69,
mm-hmm.
we have some more strange cars.
Yep.
And it looks like something just sort of ate it up. It's eaten the door handles.
Yep.
It's not just missing a tire, but it looks like it's missing the wheel.
Yeah.
You can see where it was scooched off the road that makes those mm-hmm. scrape marks there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I can.
Below that one, that thing on the other side of the road, I call it the what's it car.
Down at figure 70.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The beautiful blue van?
Yeah, that blue and white thing.
Well, there's a gorgeous untouched blue van. Is that what you're referring to?
Photographer.
Okay. So but then I see 1, 2, 3, 4 destroyed cars.
And that thing on the other side of the road... You know, what was it? Was it a mm-hmm. car? Was it a van? What was it?
Yeah.
It turns out it's a Con Edison vehicle.
Oh, okay.
But look at that vehicle in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
You can see through the wheel well. You can mm-hmm. see daylight.
Yes, like a racing car.
Engine block.
Yeah, like a racing car.
But how did it get there without an engine block?
Yeah. That's the front.
There's all the rust on it.
Yeah.
Tremendous amount of rust.
It looks kind of melted.
Yeah, it's some problems. And then there's another interesting thing I call it the peeling appearance. We're going on to the next figures,
okay.
71 and 72.
All right.
It looks like the outer layer, even though these doors are not, you know, laminated, but it looks like the outer layer got toasted or eaten up by something.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the door handles.
And almost every shot, there are no door handles. Wow, that's interesting.
It likes to eat door handles.
The thing that eats door handles. Man, and what is that? There are some numbers, it looks like. It's almost as if there are two cars together on figure 71.
I don't know about that, but I don't know if that's the roof caved in the top or if it's something else piled onto it,
yeah.
But its wheel is sideways.
Oh, the wheel is sideways. It is, it's clearly only one car, but because there's a division appearance, it looks like two. Okay.
The front and back door are warped differently.
Yeah, and it looks like something's written on that car, too.
Okay.
It looks like some numbers in a kind of a brownish...
Huh. Wasn't noticing that, but... Yes, we just look at different effects.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on down to 73 and 74.
Okay, in 72, I just want to mention that they're covered with dust again or something because you can see the untouched vehicles in the background. And the vehicles that seem to be not completely destroyed, but covered with dust and semi-destroyed.
And kind of eaten up or wilted or distorted.
Like they belong in some Australian Mel Gibson movie from 1970 or something. What were those movies? They were futuristic movies when the world was in no longer under the rule of law, and there were these people running around like vigilantes. Anyway, it's not important. Okay, so figure 73, there's an ice, it says, police. Okay, it's a police truck.
Oh, yeah, you're pretty observant about reading things.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the door again has that peeling kind of look.
Yeah, like something peeled the top half of the door off, the paint. Something zapped the top half of the paint.
Right.
Huh.
Or even the first layer below the paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, all righty.
And in 74, the ambulance,
mm-hmm.
it's strange how it looks like it's got various holes eaten in it, and the mm-hmm. inside looks far more eaten than the outside.
Yeah, and somebody bothered to write 674 on something.
I
have no idea.
Number, I guess.
It's somebody wrote that on there. It's handwritten.
Yeah, it's probably evidence number.
Yeah.
And check out that front wheel, how it's not really round. but yeah. It still looks like it has air on the tires.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's some up above, or maybe down below, where you see the steel belting, but you don't see the tire.
On which one?
But we'll get to those. 75 and 76 uh-huh. are in front of the Pentagon.
Yep.
And
oh, there's the famous white, yeah,
thing.
The famous white car. I've been studying that one for many years, always wondering what's going on with it.
And notice the after effects on the right, on the figure 76. It looks like the hood is kind of crinkled up, or you know, contracted or something, kind of rolled up, shriveled up. It's why would a hood be on fire?
Yeah, the hood is on fire.
And it isn't like the gas tanks blew up.
Mm-hmm. I was studying the mysterious cars in front of the Pentagon when I first saw those sights that went up, because mm-hmm. there were cars that just didn't seem to belong there. Just didn't seem to make sense to me. And then why were they like on fire? And it was curious to me, as if they were planted there to show people some damage.
But it's part of the same pattern. And what mm-hmm. we're going to do is just keep observing these patterns
mm-hmm.
and see what see if it tells us what happened to it.
Okay, so you're on figure 75, 76 right now.
Right.
Okay. And is that the same car?
Yep, that's before and after.
Because I don't see the flag. Oh, that's somebody planted the flag later.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, there's that piece of sheet metal thing curled up in front of it. Okay, gotcha.
After it lost its door handles, too.
Yeah. It got a flag, but it lost itself. Okay.
And in the next set, we have figure fire truck.
Yep.
I was planning on going back and renumbering everything when I finished.
And somebody left a 5-gallon bucket in there, undamaged.
Yeah. What happened to the engine block?
So that's the front
of the fire truck.
Holy smokes. It is.
It's missing its engine.
Yeah.
Probably the door handles, too.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt, the door handles. Yeah, that's the... And then the one on the other side is what we've been observing all along, is this kind of bizarre peeling effect.
And guess what happened to its engine?
Yeah, right. And there's a phone number there. What's that for? What's that all about?
Oh, this is a hazmat truck. Oh, that's where you can buy... this is just a preview.
Oh, so I remember when I first started looking at this stuff many years ago, there were photographers who would put this stuff up on their websites.
And is this like... To sell it.
Pardon? Yeah, to sell it. Or even not, if not to sell it, at least so you'd know who did it. To give
right,
proper
right.
credit.
And I think that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like down the corner to put, the logo or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then they become people that you might want to interview at some point.
What's interesting about this picture, this is in front of Building 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, where is the debris? This is like, Building 6 was right next to North Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is West Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like right, across where the tower was, and where's the stuff in the street?
So there should have been, in your estimation, how many feet high? Because we're assuming that this truck was sitting there on the road. On the ground.
It wasn't parked on the 10th floor.
No, but we're assuming that this truck was on the ground when the towers fell. So it should either be covered with debris.
Wait. I know it's hard to change habits.
Mm-hmm.
When the towers went away.
Okay. Assuming for a moment
okay.
that they just fell, they should have fallen on top of this thing, and we shouldn't be able to see it.
Correct.
And about how tall would the pile be if it hadn't mysteriously disappeared?
It should have covered the building that this vehicle is parked in front of.
I would guess 50 to 75 feet high of rubble if all the parts of the debris were around.
Yeah, there's a minimum of 12 or 13 floors at least. That's being really conservative.
Yeah, and there's nothing.
Correct.
Okay, so anybody listening who's not looking at this photo, or even if it is, said, well, they could have fallen somewhere else. But you're saying...
We'll see more of that later.
Yeah, but your point is that it's nowhere.
Yeah, okay. Where's the beef?
Right, okay. So we were along. And Craig, by the way, is here, Judy, so you can say hello.
Hi there, Judy.
Oh,
good. Yes. Very glad to hear your voice.
You know, you see that fire truck's missing its front end, too.
Mm-hmm. It's the front end eater. And then the NYPD car is burning. So how much later was that?
Hour or half hour or 30 minutes. Notice the paper around it is not burning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What caught it on fire?
Yeah. And then the cars across the street are in perfect condition. They look untouched.
It just hits various places.
And the truck that says fire truck on it is moving because it's a little bit blurred, but not much. So,
While Jim takes the phone call coming in, I'd like to ask you, if I could, I'm sure you're familiar with Willie Rodriguez's story of how he dove, the last man out of the North Tower, how he dove under the fire truck as the debris rained down upon it. And I've never heard a description of the fire truck afterwards. Did you know whether he dove under a fire truck that was half melted or was squashed or covered by debris for some some depth or anything like that?
I don't know of any fire truck that's in good health that's parked adjacent to the towers.
Oh, okay. We'll so maybe I got that story wrong then, that he might have dove under a fire truck.
Yeah, what I'm doing here is looking at just the physical evidence.
Right. Oh, but are you familiar with this story of his?
There's several stories I've heard of his, and you know, there's various people perceive things in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a page on my website about false memory syndrome, where you know people are in this very traumatic situation.
Right.
The brain isn't necessarily recording things the same from person to person to person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
I have to interrupt for a second. We had a caller who's lost in terms of what page we're on. He's on the website. So could we, for everybody, could you talk people through how to get to where we are?
DrJudyWood.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can have W's there or not. It doesn't matter.
Okay, well, he's there.
Okay, and then you see a police car picture?
Well, he's not on the air right now. He's just listening at home.
So. Okay, and if he sees that police car picture and clicks on that, he'll be on this page.
Okay. So on your homepage, he can look around and find a picture of a police car, click on the picture.
Yeah, just to the right of the billiard ball stuff.
Okay.
And that'll jump you to this page.
Okay. So click on the picture of the police car, and then you can scroll down this page to 66E, and that's where we are right now. And if that doesn't work, call me again, and we'll try to help. I mean, I can read you exactly what I'm looking at as the URL here, but it'll take all night, so I don't want to do that.
Could I finish about Willie?
And
my question about Willie Rodriguez.
Plainfield.
Sorry, Jim. About Willie Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Is it are you pretty confident in that all of the trucks parked anywhere near, or any vehicle anywhere near the tower, the North Tower specifically itself, was melted or otherwise somehow, you know, pretty much melted? Or could it be that in some cases, I've noticed that on one page in your map, in your site, you have a map showing where the pyroclastic flow went, and that seemed to be covering the area of the big parking lot where all the cars were melted. Is it possible that some parts of the area didn't get melted, cars and trucks?
The cars all around the perimeter of whatever you want to call it, the complex. There's most of them were damaged. There was spontaneous combustion different places, and none of the cars came out looking pristine.
Would you venture to say then that it would be pretty difficult for him to dive under a fire truck at that point to avoid the debris,
as
it was?
You know, I don't know if there's a whole lot of point in figuring that one out.
Well, he has said it, and I'm trying to determine, as you say, maybe he thought he did or couldn't quite remember or something else. I'm just trying to pin down if all the vehicles around the tower, around that site, were pretty much melted or impossible to dive underneath.
Well, there's a lot of space underneath these things.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, like they could have gone under the hazmat truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe, you know.
And when I, Ladder 5.
Which one?
Ladder 5 was, you know, I took the name Ladder 5 from my poem because I saw a picture of Ladder 5, which was completely crushed, except there were places underneath it that you easily could have crawled for safety. You know, it wasn't, there was still room under it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It was just the luck of the draw if you were going to dive somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
But I have been focusing mainly on the physical evidence, because I think it gets confusing when you try to weave in eyewitness testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because eyewitness testimony isn't as reliable as physical evidence.
It's like all the eyewitness testimony that the 757 hit the Pentagon. Half of the people, or a third, say that. A third say it was a small plane. A couple people say it was a missile. Eyewitness testimony in that instance is pretty worthless.
Right, maybe there's an origin of various, you know, threads of that.
Right, government employees.
I know someone who swears they saw the plane take the wing of the plane take the roof off the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in their memory that way. They're not lying. For whatever reason, it's, you know, maybe, you know, suggestion while they're traumatized. But for a lot of reasons, that's why I want to get away from eyewitness testimony and just look at what I see physically.
Right.
And eyewitnesses are myopic in that they can only see what they can see from where they are.
And if you don't know how to perceive something, you've never seen it before, and then somebody tells you how to perceive it, that must be it, and you grab onto it and run.
Sure.
And so it may not be necessarily what it is. Anyway, so getting back to, you know, looking at these some more, there's, you know, several interesting things, like the figure flip, which is right underneath that burning police car.
What figure are we on? Oh, yes, I see it.
Mm-hmm. Figure flip.
Yep.
Everything of the same material in the front of that building. I think that's WFC1.
It says 2 on the photo.
Okay. Maybe I need to change that. I think that's WFC1. I'll have to check. But it's interesting how everything of the same material is gone. There's no stab wounds in the building. There's just, you know, missing windows.
Mm-hmm.
And missing facade around the doorway.
Yeah.
And then there's an upside-down car, and then another car looks shrunken in the front end.
The facade around the doorway, could that have been metal, or do you suspect that?
I don't know if it's marble or if it's glass or something like that.
Okay.
There's a lot of marble. I remember, I only went there once or twice in my life when it was standing, and there was a lot of marble all over.
Yeah, I don't know if it's real marble or fake marble, but it looks like that. That bit the dust there.
Yeah.
Is there any consistency in the objects and the composition of the objects that were either melted or disappeared altogether, like the door handles of the cars, versus the tires and the wheels? Sometimes they're not steel, etc. Is there any consistency in this?
There are trends, and we'll notice that looking through here, like door handles, they do seem like a popular item as well as engine blocks.
Engine blocks,
yeah. Popular item to disappear.
Yeah. There are a lot of aluminum blocks out there, and I wonder if car handles are aluminum.
Or I don't think they're aluminum. I think the aluminum blocks may be the ones that remain.
Okay.
Like, I don't think that fire trucks have aluminum blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in figure 77, you'll notice this fuzzy blob underneath the back end of that mail truck on the left.
Yep.
That becomes significant. That's a remnant of something that eats things.
Oh, hmm.
And as we continue down, you just quick glance, we're back to FDR Drive, and you notice, figure 66D, you got a wheel with the seal belting, but no tire.
Right. Very inconsistent, although there are trends, like you say.
Yeah, it's just weird things like something was at the wrong place at the wrong time and got nailed, and something else didn't.
66.
And Then, let's see, figure 66K, that's back to that truck with the, that police car with the new wax job on the back end. That's the inside of it.
Okay, we have the caller is back, so let's try to talk him to the photos again. So we know that we're on judywood.com. He's already there.
Drjudywood.com.
Sorry, drjudywood.com. So there he is, and he's looking for the police car to click on.
Okay.
So you can ask your own question now.
It says Star Wars direct energy weapons do.
Yes.
You see, there's four pictures. Is a police car?
One's a car. I wouldn't say it was. I can't tell if it's a police car.
Oh, okay.
Well, one is pretty obviously a police car.
This one doesn't have any markings on it. It's just a badly messed up car.
Okay. Well, we'll click on that and see what happens.
Okay, I have. And it's a click to play media, 1,400 vehicles melted. Is that the toasted cars? Is that the one?
Yeah, and you just scroll down that page.
Okay. All right. And, yeah, that's the car, and yeah, it's got stripes on it. Yeah, it's a police car. Then where do I go?
Go down to about the middle of that page, and you'll see it says FDR Drive.
Oh, okay, I see now. 65A and 65B and stuff. Okay, so these are the ones you've been talking about.
Yep, great. Mm-hmm.
And we're all the way down to 66 C, D, J, F.
Okay, I'm good.
I need to renumber these soon.
By the way, it's true. A lot of cars have aluminum engine blocks and heads nowadays. I think the door handles are less likely aluminum than plastic or pot metal.
I'm guessing pot metal.
I would say probably most modern cars have aluminum engines.
Well, there's no consistency in the tires. I mean, some of the tires are in perfect shape, and some of the tires are gone, and the wheels are left. I mean, everything seems to have a wheel, but there's aluminum alloy wheels, but not all of them are aluminum.
Yeah, most of them are either aluminum or steel.
Yeah.
And I see aluminum and steel, it looks like, that are left.
Most fire trucks have, don't they have, like, heavy iron diesel engines?
Yeah, fire trucks most likely would have cast iron, yeah.
So we've seen a lot of fire trucks with missing engines.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh.
So, I think it likes, iron engine blocks.
Huh.
So maybe we can find out what kind of a car it was, based on whether or not it still has its engine.
Yeah, but none of them have their door handles.
Right.
Now, where are these pictures from?
There's various places, FDR Drive, a lot of them, if you see the water in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue down, there's some others around, various streets. You see the burning cars?
Let's see. Like in 65C, the cars right under the bridge are looking good, and the cars outside it are looking burned, right?
Okay. But then if you down to 66K,
paper.
You see this toasted interior? It's in big red letters.
Yes.
What hits me about that is where'd the rust come from? This is parked under, the overpass.
And the paper.
Yeah, well, the paper in the car, who knows, that somebody threw the water bottle in there. But how do you get completely everything toasted in there and rust? Hmm. And this is inside the vehicle.
Oxidation.
It's rapid oxidation, I suppose. And then there's that one you showed before where the rear half of the car is in great shape and the rest of the car is gone. Completely gone.
And that's the inside of its...
What number is that?
66L.
And by gone, you mean just it looks like it's been stripped of all its paint.
The inside, there's nothing inside it, but
except metal.
Except metal, yeah.
There's no door handle fittings.
Yeah. And there are no tires. I can't see a tire, but I can see a wheel.
In the front end, it doesn't have a tire, but...
But the rear end tire is in perfect shape. It isn't even flat.
Now, I just go from 66 to 67. I don't see it.
They're not in sequential order yet.
Oh.
They're just because I was still moving them around and the page isn't done yet.
Okay.
I was waiting until I got it all done and I was going to sequentially number it.
Uh-huh.
But it is a little bit confusing.
Now, these were all taken when?
Within a day or so of, a day or two of 9/11.
Uh-huh. Oh.
So have you haven't found the 66 A, B, C, D ones yet?
Caller?
It's called FDR Drive.
FDR Drive. Yeah, you got to get down to FDR Drive.
Yeah, you can go up to the very top, and then it'll jump you to different sections.
There are anomalies. Okay, I'm down to five.
Oh, I see. You just have to go a little bit lower, and you'll see all of that that we're talking about. You go past the map, and then you've got 66 A, B, C, D, etc. And you, if you go down to 66 L, you'll see a police car that's in perfect condition from the middle back.
As if it went into a car wash with lava flowing on the front part of the car, but nothing on the back. So the effect of whatever damaged the front car, part of the car was completely divorced from what the fact that it didn't touch the back.
Yeah.
So this is a very concentrated, whatever it was that did it, thing.
And you know, if you have a fire, it's going to have like rounded edges.
Yeah.
Not right at the edge of the door.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is not a dent. Not it's
what?
Perfect. There's not a dent. There's not a scratch. It's just perfect.
It, reflections are great.
Hmm. Yeah.
And let's see, 66M.
All right.
You can see that the door was kind of wilted and crinkled up funny.
Yeah.
And the car in front of it has dust on it. You know, one car gets nailed, another one doesn't.
Yep. And now we're back to the 66N is FDR Drive.
Yeah. And then you look below that, we have fires in cars. That clearly was the afternoon of 9/11.
Huh.
And figure on fire one, you see a street sign that says park. So that's over by the municipal building, the city park, kind of near the entry to the Brooklyn Bridge. And this car just right in the middle of the street, spontaneous combustion.
Hmm. And then the
rider truck or something.
And the van near it seems to be in perfect condition.
Right, it lucked out.
Mm-hmm. And there's paper all over, it looks like.
It's not burning.
Yeah.
My favorite one is 66O. It's just below that. Where you have paper in the trees, on the sidewalk, in the streets, but all the vehicles in the streets are on fire.
Uh-huh. Yeah, except for the first one. Yeah.
Right.
Huh.
Just about all of them.
Wow.
And there's a pile of paper there, too.
Lots and lots of paper.
And then looking at the missing windows, that's another weird phenomenon. There's nothing went through the windows.
Mm-hmm.
So we know something shatters windows. Just like it shatters marble.
Yeah, and the mirror has been peeled. You can see the rubber that holds the mirror intact. The gasket is peeled off, but in perfect condition.
Yeah, so it doesn't get that material.
Yeah, like somebody grabbed it and pulled it off.
A concussive blast? Question mark.
We don't know yet. We're just kind of taking it in, but the stuff in the vehicle didn't look like it get blasted. It looks like the glass just shattered for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Without, like, a big pressure wave or anything.
Maybe there was an opera singer screaming.
Ah.
There's a wonderful clip, if you can call any of this wonderful, of a couple people lifted off the ground as the wave hit them as they're running away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, Judy?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'll send you the DVD.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, now you got the guy cleaning his fire truck.
Down at 66Q and 66R. Keep going?
Yeah.
66S, 66T. More mysterious... Now, there's that, in 66T, there's a car in pristine condition, no dust, nothing, sitting next to a fire truck that's in really bad shape. Okay, now I can't see anybody cleaning a fire truck. I'm 66U, 66V.
66X.
All right. Yep, gotcha.
And there's nothing wrong with the fire truck except all the windows gone.
Yeah.
And then we get into some more that were toasted. That's next to, I believe, the postal building.
Yep.
And that figure 78 that busted out window, nothing came through the window.
Huh.
So that's another kind of clue on what happens to glass. Now, figure YY, that's that toasted lot that's a few blocks north and west.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that is a good clue about the window, because there were so many windows that were completely gone, but you could see the tiny little shards of glass right where they meet the gasket around
right.
the window. Whereas this one, it looks as if somebody hit it with a piano.
Except that you see it wrinkled up, so it was still, it like got a minor dose of whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, that's what glass is supposed to do, by the way. Safety glass is supposed to act that way. It's not supposed to
sheet.
It doesn't shatter. It clings together.
But it's interesting, there's nothing in the front seat.
No.
Okay, we're going to look at the toasted parking lot now.
On YY?
Just below that.
Okay.
And this is after the South Tower went, but before the North Tower goes.
Mm-hmm. I see the South Tower standing.
And you notice where the dust stops abruptly, about a block before the pedestrian bridge?
Mm-hmm. In Toast L? Toast 1?
Yep.
Okay.
And notice over, kind of in the fog on the right, is we're looking down the middle of the picture, is we're looking straight kind of south
mm-hmm.
On West Street.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get, just before you get to the tower, if you turn right,
mm-hmm.
there's a parking lot over in there in front of that the short building.
Okay.
But it's not on fire yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at Toast 2A,
yep.
the red circle shows that parking lot, and it's not on fire yet.
Okay.
But it gets on fire after Tower 1 goes poof.
Oh, I see. That's very well done. For those of you listening and trying to do this, in case you're not with us yet, in Toast 1, you can see the North Tower standing, and about dead center in that image is a parking lot that looks quite white.
It's a little bit to the right of that mm-hmm. street.
A little bit to the right, and in front of the building with the blue roof. And now if you look at Toast 2A, you can see that same parking lot that Judy has circled in red. It's clearly the same parking lot because it's right in front of that building with the blue roof. And there's no damage to it.
There's no smoke coming from it yet.
Okay.
But then the North Tower goes poof. And in Toast 2B, you see smoke now coming out of that parking lot.
Yes, I see that. That's the same parking lot right in the center of that image. Well,
that's where it started smoking from. Then you see more of the smoking pictures from that parking lot.
How do you know if that's smoke or if it's dust?
Look at the next, Toast 3 and Toast 4.
Okay. Hmm. Oh, there's fire now in it.
Yeah, you can even see fire there. What got it on fire? Look, is that white in between?
Yeah.
That's all paper.
Huh.
So how did the fire get over to the cars from the towers?
It's as if a ray was moving across the landscape, pinpointing on the buildings and hitting areas en route.
There's another explanation. Perhaps you could have different kinds of clouds, some that are more toxic than others, and infect the car,
mm-hmm.
and do something to the metal and make it start eating itself.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that some of the clouds could be activated and some not, some more aggressive than others. And apparently the first cloud that rolled through was not aggressive, but this next one was.
Mm. Now, figure 5, is that the same? That's a different parking lot.
That's the same building, and the fire is going strong. But notice the dust now has settled out of the air.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a black smoke now in figure 5.
Yeah, and we're one block north. In Toast 4, in that picture, you see on the bottom right corner, you see a diagonal sign.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that sign in figure 5, kind of looking straight at us.
Oh, okay, gotcha. It's disappeared almost in the dust, but I see it.
Yeah, and if you click on that picture, this is an important picture.
Oh, figure five.
I had a big aha moment with this picture.
Figure five?
Yeah,
okay.
Click on it, and you should get a big one.
Yeah, got it.
Now, we're upwind of the Trade Center. We're a couple blocks north.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's probably 15, 20 minutes after Tower 1 went poof,
mm-hmm.
because the black smoke, you know, it cranked up to that. And the dust has settled out of the air. You got a clear blue sky over there. But then look at the guys on the right, around their feet. You see this fuzziness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's dust on their shoes.
Oh, it's kicking up around their ankles.
Right.
Okay.
On the very far right.
Okay, so the indication is that they're walking through some pretty deep dust.
Well, not necessarily. Think about it. If the dust came flying through the air, has settled out of the air, so you have a clear blue sky, mm-hmm. why are they able to kick it up so easily?
Well,
if it's heavy of dust, it falls out of the air that quickly.
Well, if I dump ashes from my wood-burning stove in my driveway and I walk through it, it doesn't go, like, all over the place, but it certainly turns my shoes white.
Right, but does it go up to your knees?
I think she's saying if you dumped up ashes from way up and it settled that fast, there'd still be, you know, ashes would still leave a cloud in the air for quite a long time.
Yeah, if it's that fine, it's not going to settle out.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying it's too heavy to be just ash.
It was too heavy.
Uh-huh.
I think this is an illustration that it's continuing to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It when it lands, it's coarse dust,
mm-hmm.
but it keeps breaking down until it becomes finer and finer.
Mm-hmm.
So here, when they're walking around, I call these fuzzballs. They get around their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon, the fuzzballs start rising all by themselves without being kicked around. So if we go back to the page, you can see, you know, more of the... you can see the proximity of where that parking lot is and the posting of the parking lot. And street 9A and street 9B.
Oh, I keep changing the size of this image, and I'm not sure. I don't want to click the wrong thing and disappear myself out of...
Oh, that one that popped up? I think you can close that one.
Yeah, well, I'm...
Oh.
But the trick is to close it without...
Figure 5 just popped up all by itself.
Yeah, but if I click what Craig wants me to click, I'm afraid I'm going to lose. Well, I'll try it. You are about to close 3 tabs. Are you sure you want to continue? No, I don't.
I think you do.
Okay, I'll try again. Wait a minute, what if I just do this?
So could
got
I,
it. Got
could
it,
I
got
bring
it.
Back?
I clicked the right thing.
Can I bring back a point that you'd made earlier, Judy, about how for quite a long time the whatever it is that used to be the tower has just hung in the air and lingered. It just didn't go anywhere. And then on the other hand, you have this decomposing heavy material hitting the ground.
Oh, you're confusing different time frames.
Okay. Okay.
Initially, it all comes out of the air. Well, we're talking about upwind.
Uh-huh.
So that's a clear case of what's where. It all comes out of the air.
Yeah.
Then at a certain time, maybe, you know, at the 20-minute mark, when people walk around, you get these fuzzballs around the feet.
Okay, okay.
And then a little bit later, the fuzzballs happen all by themselves.
Gotcha.
Because it keeps breaking down.
The chronology of this is all very important in trying to understand it, and you've gone through that chronology.
Yeah, there's in this first series, when I, you know, doing the toasted cars and then, you know, the holes in the buildings and the bathtub, each page is like an article in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing the dirt series, and that's when I started focusing on what the clouds are doing and where I figured that out. I'm just kind of pointing to it now, but... we can talk more about it with later on, but here it's mainly the focus should be on like the cars, but just to get familiar with what all we see as well. In 9A and 9B, 9A, I love that picture. Here's Mr. Branford, I called him, because that's what's on the back of his jacket. These people have just come out of their hiding places. and they're you know coming to see what happened. And you see that by their postures, the guy with his arms folded, another one with his arms to his side, and it's kind of like, what? Where'd it go? There was a building there. Where'd it go?
Yeah.
They should see a 110-story building in front of them. And there's just paper in the street.
It's kind of like how you describe the looks on the faces of the workers who go down underneath the or near the parking garage underneath to see the underground mall, which should have been absolutely squished to nothingness and isn't. And so much of it is still intact, as if nothing landed on it.
Yeah, the clothes. You know, I guess with the clothing store, you see the jeans stacked up. You know, like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, they were, and then that pile of jeans that ended up in the fire truck. And there was that big controversy. Did firemen steal the jeans, or did they...
That was a distraction.
Yeah, it was a distraction. Yeah. And a guy did a two-hour special on it.
Oh, wow.
He compared it to Mount Vesuvius and how the pottery and things like that, when Mount Vesuvius wiped out people, whenever that was, you know, hundreds of years ago, you can see clearly that things got lifted intact and ended up somewhere else. So a stack of jeans could very well have been lifted out of a store and thrown into a fire truck all by themselves without any damage to the jeans.
Right.
And
yeah, I've seen various pictures with just dust on them and everything else is fine.
Yeah, like I could care whether some fireman stole a stack of jeans. You know, like this is real important to me when the United States government has just wiped out 3,000 people.
Yeah, it's the fact is that here we have these jeans that are just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the bottom.
Right.
Several floors below.
Oh, have you seen my Roadrunner character?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't.
A Warner Brothers store.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's, let's see, Foghorn Leghorn, Bugs Bunny, and Roadrunner. I believe they're in, like, the first floor underneath the ground level. Got a scratch on them.
Hmm. Could you describe, too, the amount of weight that supposedly landed on the very relatively thin ceiling above the Roadrunner and Howdy Doody and whoever else is?
Yeah, maybe we should just zip through down the rest of this page.
Okay, and
you
Pete...
You see a bunch of rusty cars? That's another issue that comes up.
We have another person who joined us. I don't think we have time to tell you how to get there if you don't know. Pete, do you know where we are?
No, but tell me the website anyway because I'll look tomorrow.
Okay, drjudywood.com.
That's pretty difficult.
drjudywood.com. But then you want to click on the police car through the parking lots.
We can go to the page one of the beam weapon paper.
Okay, so let's finish scrolling down here. You want to do that? Toast 11?
You just see more cars, and you see a couple weeks later there's a police car still there, so these guys didn't get towed away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see which one is which in the various pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But look how rusted they are. Instant rust.
Could there's that large shot of the parking lot from above.
Toast 12.
And to my eyes, it's a little hard to decipher. Is that some sort of dust that's smeared to the bottom at the bottom of the where all the cars are lined up, and all the cars are rusted? That's pretty evident.
Yeah.
Is that like the dust has been like bulldozed or something, or smeared around?
Dust and paper.
Oh, okay.
You can see on the left side of the picture in the street, mm-hmm. and you see tire marks.
Yep.
Going over the side. Almost all of these pictures, I have it arranged so you click on them and it pops up a new picture.
Mm.
So you can close it when you're done.
Hmm. Okay, just wondering.
Yeah, the rust, the instant rust, is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on 13 and 14.
What would have to be the properties of the thing that would make instant rust? Is it a massive amount of heat mixed with Gaia knows what?
Water.
Not necessarily heat.
Not necessarily. Okay.
Heat. Now, I mean, this is another interesting thing that came to be when I was looking, you know, just focusing on the dust, on the dirt series, that you have material breaking down, that the beams that you don't see at ground zero, they're gone, but where'd they go?
Yeah.
They broke down into, you know, fine particles.
and waft it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're breaking down, you have to think of what steel is. Steel doesn't rust very easily.
Mm.
Steel pipes, they don't rust. You know, you get creeping crud on them. After a while, they start getting something here and there.
Well, if you scratch your car, it'll rust in a few hours. If you scratch the paint, all the paint off a car, you'll see rust in a few hours.
Well, not in a few hours. We start getting patches here and there, but it doesn't look like somebody spray painted Rust-Oleum orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like if the paint's all gone and it's damp or corrosive environment like you might get in the city, it could rust pretty fast if that paint's been essentially burned off to really bare metal.
There's different aspects of this.
Mm-hmm.
How about pipes? Steel pipes, like water pipes?
Mm-hmm. That's different.
Well,
go
that's
ahead.
Cast iron. That's black iron. It's got a coating on it.
But if you have cast iron, like a iron fry pan,
mm-hmm.
you leave that in the sink overnight, it rusts bright
mm-hmm.
orange.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not oil.
So what's the difference between steel and iron?
And cast iron?
Well, steel is a compound. It's got various, you know, it's an alloy. And it's
right, it's got carbon and other doodads in it. They keep it from rusting. They do other things, too, you know, with the properties.
For strength.
But it also keeps it from rusting so fast.
Well, I've seen rust spots appear on my vehicles. I beat mine up pretty badly in the woods. I sugar and I farm. And if I happen to scrape some paint off my truck, there's rust on that spot the next day.
It could also be what, you know, like you have a lot of salt up there.
On the road.
You know, there's mm-hmm. other these properties. I'm in South Carolina. I noticed a rock had hit my hood, and I've got a bald patch, and I got to remember to go buy some primer to put it on there because mm-hmm. I mean it's not rusting yet, but it's gonna as soon as it rains.
Mm-hmm.
Could I offer up a interject here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, a car guy. Yeah.
A car guy, exactly. Most paint processes on cars in the last 10 or 15 years use what is an electrochemical reaction to bond the paint. And in the past, they didn't use this 15, 20, 30 years ago. They just painted the car with a spray gun. But now, before they paint it, they basically turn the bare metal into a negative charge, and the paint is a positive charge that gives it better bond. And I'm wondering if this instant rust was some kind of electrochemical reaction from whatever brought the towers down that instantly did
okay,
something.
Okay, we'll put that on the side and just take it as data right now. Let's see if this happens to other types of
right.
steel,
mm-hmm.
as well as his cars.
That's a good point. Because my truck is 20 years old.
Yeah, mine's a little less than 10, and it doesn't have the rust problem, so maybe that's different.
Uh-huh.
I had a 78 Honda Accord, and man, did that rust. Okay, if you go down to the very bottom of the page,
yep.
and beam 1.
Beam 1. Gotcha, bathtub.
Yep.
Okay.
And we're just going to do a quick pass-through here, because you were asking about all this stuff slamming on the bathtub.
Yeah, the weight of the debris that should have really just clobbered everything below it and didn't seem to.
Hey, you have two 500,000-ton buildings.
Is this beam weapon one? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, the very bottom. Beam one.
The box. Beam weapon one.
Beam weapon one bathtub.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, something's funky with my thing. I'll try it another way. I run with the old system and weird things happen. Also, weird things happen when I'm on the radio. Surprised I still have internet connection. Knock on something. Okay, on this page, this is the front page to it all. If you just spool down, look at the pictures, you see figure 01. You have these beautiful, brand-new towers.
Mm-hmm.
And how huge they were. And then figure 1 below that, you see the bathtub all cleaned out. And we're pretty much standing in the middle of Tower 1's footprint. And what they did is pour concrete on top of the bedrock and have this, you know, foundation that they built on top of the bedrock down there.
Okay, so this is before it was built?
No, this is afterwards.
Oh,
this
is after 9/11.
What this shows is that you have two 500,000-ton buildings slamming down. They didn't bust this up.
Huh.
How'd that happen?
Wow.
And the parking garage is over there.
And, so this is after all the rubble was cleared away, you have this cement floor that looks perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you lost all the concrete, you know, on the 10th floor, the 20th floor, whatever, mm-hmm. why didn't you lose it on down here on the bedrock?
Yeah, what's the difference? Because there's plenty under it. There are several stories under this.
No, we're down in the 7th basement.
Oh, this is it. This is the very bottom.
This is like 9 months later when it's all cleaned out.
Okay, so there's... Okay, gotcha.
And now the picture just below that, figure two,
mm-hmm.
that's right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down there at the subway.
Right, okay. And the building...
They had fire hoses and all running.
Yeah, and the building landed right on top of that.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. it was in the end of February. They pulled this... I should add that picture to it. They pulled this subway out, not a scratch on it, looks like.
Uh-huh. Yep. Looks like the subway could run.
Yeah. And
not been switched.
The Rez talks about why this bathtub was there, because you're down below the water table
mm-hmm.
of the Hudson.
Yep.
And here you have the rail lines that come up under the Hudson and are on the bottom of the bathtub.
Yep.
So if that bathtub jiggles too much, it's going to snap that tunnel, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to break, and the Hudson's going to flow into it.
And you're going to flood all of Manhattan.
Yes, yep. That's right.
I mean, a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
Right.
We better not slam the building down.
Yep.
And then below, I have some aerial shots, and you can see that the track's still in the same place. I think a lot of it, they put dirt over it and boards over it so they could, run equipment over the tracks.
Are we looking at the diagram?
And below
three?
There, like figure 8, 7 mm-hmm. and 8.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep, I see. Yeah, okay.
And then figure 9, this is March. You talk about the fuming out of the ground. The far mm-hmm. corner of the bathtub, they're still hosing down.
Yep.
You can't tell me they have fires there. They're hosing down the dirt.
So how do you know they're hosing something down? I can't.
I can see it, but we'll. Sorry, I shouldn't have distracted you. That mm-hmm. we can see it later.
Okay.
I get details. So you see the subway cars before and after, and how the subway was fine. Yeah, it got wet. If you fill up, if you have a, watertight bathtub and you run all sorts of fire hoses on it, the water's got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But once they pumped it out, it ran down into the tunnels. Once they pumped it out, they didn't get any more. In
mm-hmm.
other words, it just drained down there. It didn't leak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now down to figure 18A and B. There's a Roadrunner. Roadrunner survived.
18.
There it is.
All righty.
Yep.
So this is a store that was undamaged.
This is the material from the store. They've now mm-hmm. moved it out and put it in Hangar 17
mm-hmm.
to save as souvenirs.
Okay, so we are in Hangar 17 now.
Yes.
Okay.
But they removed these guys, and these guys look fine.
Yeah. Huh. Is that Roadrunner?
No,
yep.
That's
Foghorn Leghorn on the left and Bugs Bunny on the right.
And then... Roadrunner down there at the bottom.
Okay, let me see.
Oh, yeah, it had just there. Well,
the point being, these little plastic, large-sized mannequin-type things should have been pulverized to nothingness, and they exist.
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn, actually, I think he's like 8 feet tall or something
mm-hmm,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I do see Roadrunner now. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a smile on his face.
Yeah, and he's got a tail that's light blue and a crest. Okay, gotcha.
And he should have a sign or a t-shirt saying, I survived the World Trade Center falling on me.
Right.
Yeah.
And he survived.
Okay.
And I have some stuff about earthquakes below that, and you can jump to there. Go down to the picture of the kingdom versus the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And people on their own can play the video of the kingdom going poof. This is in Seattle, I think it was in 2000. They March 26th.
Mm-hmm.
They took it down with explosives, regular controlled demolition.
Look at the amount of rubble versus the amount of material.
You had 30-foot-high piles of stuff.
Yeah.
There are people down there, but you can't see them. They're so small.
Yeah. It looks like the amount of rubble is maybe about one-tenth the amount of the building, whereas in the, with the World Trade Center, it was about one-thousandth.
Yeah. And another thing is the dust that came from this didn't really go much higher than the top of the dome,
mm-hmm.
than the highest point of the building. And the quote I like best, they had in the Seattle Times, that dust filled the air for nearly 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just settled out.
And there are large concrete blocks all over the place from the King Dome.
Yeah.
Large, large bits of it, not crushed to powder.
And it put them down on the ground where they could jackhammer them up.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you go to click on page 2, beam weapon 2.
Scroll down or?
Yeah, on the very bottom, there's another link.
Okay.
You can link between all of these pages.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm at beam weapon 2 energy?
Yep. And there's some statistics. I need to clean up this page. This one needs the most work. But if you scroll down till you get to a chart talking about magnitudes of the Richter scale, equivalent
steel tons, that chart?
Yeah.
King Dome? Or below? There's
it's a strike chart kind of in the middle of the page.
There's
it's in the middle of the... Halfway down.
Halfway down. Whoa.
Yes, it's using the magnitude scale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, using the magnitude scale. Gotcha.
And, large quarry blast, versus something bigger. What the towers registered was a 2.1 and a 2.3.
Mm-hmm.
The King Dome registered a 2.3, and it's a whole lot smaller,
yep.
and it's closer to the ground. So here we have an issue. Plus, it's on a shock cushion. It's on soft jello kind of material.
Now, was the 2.3 registering the explosives that brought the King Dome down, or the material hitting the ground? I remember that with the towers, it has long been said that the 2.3 for the North Tower registered before anything hit the ground.
I'm just looking at what they told us. I don't even I don't even know if they fudged data or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that if you have the King Dome and it registers at 2.3 for whatever reason, if you have a building with 30 times the potential energy.
Yep.
The center of mass is a whole lot higher up, plus there's a whole lot more of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to make a bigger signal. Mm-hmm. Whether you blow it up with explosives or drop it, however it hits the ground.
3.5 or so, or at least.
It's 30 times the potential energy, yeah. which gives you a little bit of an
velocity,
idea.
And the velocity was much greater by the speed it came down.
What I had calculated here, just for some rough numbers, if you take, 16, the bottom 16 out of 110 stories of the South Tower and slam that on the ground, you get the same thing.
Okay. Right. So it's comparable 16. To 16.
Yeah, and the North Tower would be 24, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On the Richter scale.
For making the same, just proportioning it out.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing about this magnitude scale, 0.6 is what the Building 7 did.
Huh.
That's the equivalent of a jackhammer.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it didn't hit the ground.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay. So when you went to the different people who registered it in various places, now they're extrapolating as though they were there, or what?
I'm convinced it's pretty well pinned down. I think that is pretty much, you can argue about it, half of a decimal place here and there, but I think it's, ballpark is correct. It 2.1 or 2.3 is a long way away from a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Long
or more.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so there's something that is amiss here.
Isn't the Richter scale something like every point up you go, such as 2.3 to 2.4, isn't that something like a factor of like 10 times
so
stronger?
Like a 2.0 versus a 3.0, it's like a, you know,
a factor of 100 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's huge, huge difference.
So now, this is getting, you know, it should be a lot bigger.
Okay, it's 10 minutes to 6, and Dr. Wood, I don't know whether you have anything crucial to sum up.
I'm happy to keep listening to this.
But Peter, just in case, do you have anything that you want to mention? I know there's the Robert Fisk thing, which, you know, may or may not be important. It certainly will tie Amy Goodman's knickers in a twist, because, you know, how is she going to have him on anymore? Her big guy.
Right.
But anyone else?
What you can see here is that there's a whole lot of data.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start looking at the data, you don't have to jump to conclusions. The data sort of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, where did the building go?
Mm-hmm.
And there is one page I would like you to restart out looking at.
Sure.
That is...
the holes.
Oh, yeah, this is the hole pictures. But, yeah, I guess we could do the dirt series a different time.
Mm.
The dirt series is interesting. They brought in truckloads of dirt.
Mm-hmm. And which one do we click on?
For that, you have to go back to the main page.
It's not on one of the menu down below?
Right. You have to click on home page.
Okay. Got it.
And then you'll see a dirt series there.
That's
molecular dissociation from dust to dirt.
Is there a photo?
There's a whole bunch of photos there.
I see. Alka-Seltzer.
Click on the first one.
Alka-Seltzer? Or
yeah.
Click on Alka-Seltzer. Dirt 1. Oh, I see. I couldn't read the word dirt. Okay. There I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Molecular dissociation.
The reason I call this the dirt series is I discovered they brought in truckloads upon truckloads of dirt.
Mm-hmm. Overnight.
Yeah, and then thereafter, they brought in truckloads of dirt, took out truckloads of dirt, brought in more, took out dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe dirt is what they... What?
The same dirt.
Same dirt they have at the Pentagon, apparently.
Yeah. and dirt is used to clean up chemical spills.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever organized that, organized the Pentagon, it was pretty easy. They knew what to do. Spread dirt.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Rent dirt. You dump the dirt down, then a week later, scoop it up, take it out, bring in some new dirt.
Yep.
So you start noticing, you know, if you just spool down, look at these pictures, that's not a collapse. Like figure 8 and 9, that's the steel turning to dust in midair.
220,000 tons did not hit the ground.
That's why 20,000 tons or 500,000 tons didn't hit the ground.
Yep.
Okay.
Not only that, the holes in Building 6, it's about 50% of the buildings missing.
Yeah.
Just disappeared?
Yep.
Well, if you're going to bring 6 down with controlled demolition, hey, we can't have that. That's too close to the bathtub wall. We might do some damage.
Hmm.
How about if we have a whole lot less building to worry about?
Hmm. So which number should we be looking at now?
Well, if you just scroll down, go down to figure 10.
Okay.
11.
Gotcha.
This is taken, well, figure 10 is the afternoon of 9/11, because you can see Building 7 back in the distance.
Uh-huh.
You can see Building 7. We're standing on West Street, kind of looking north, northeast. You should be able to see a tower between you and Building 7.
Yeah, on the left.
No,
that?
Between you and Building 7, there should be a big tower there.
There should be, yes.
Mm-hmm. It is gone.
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, there's no sign that there was one ever there. It looks like it flew away.
And this is actually before noon on 9/11.
Uh-huh.
How could they have carted it off by then?
Yeah, no. Yep.
Is this, where'd it go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing that you're pointing out that most of us wouldn't know is how high is this pile of rubble? Because we don't know, and you're saying it's not high at all.
You can see in the figure 11, you see an ambulance there.
That was there before the crash.
Right.
Which means that it's like nothing.
We're on ground level.
Yeah.
And notice what we see there in the street is aluminum cladding from the building, not steel.
Mm-hmm.
There was some steel, but aluminum cladding survived. So I don't think those are aluminum door handles.
That's yeah. I think the door handle mystery is a funny one that I wish somebody could get on it.
If you scroll down to Figure 19, you see cars turning to dust, just turning into fumes. They're not on fire; they're just turning to vapor.
I see what you mean. So
has anyone ever tried to explain this in the public, the media, anybody, or they just ignored it totally?
Oh, they've ignored this totally.
Yeah.
I've kind of, worked at nailing it to death. And are you familiar with the RFC I filed, the request for corrections to NIST?
Yeah.
And that they did respond, and I have now filed an appeal.
Because from the very beginning, everyone heard reports that the people that were running down the street, seeing cars just spontaneously bursting into flames as they were running down the street.
And they continued running down the street. In other words, they didn't burn up.
Right, and nobody ever questioned that. It was like a science fiction thing. Like, why would that be happening? And nobody ever said boo about it.
And there was an airplane, one of the emergency workers looked up and saw an airplane turn into a fireball.
I haven't heard that one.
No, I haven't heard that either.
That was on one of my pages. There's several interesting testimonies like that. They talk about rooms disappearing, people disappearing. It's some really strange things. And further down this page, I have a picture of the people running down the street, but we didn't see burned bodies.
Yeah.
We know people jumped out of the buildings.
Yes.
But with all this burning, we didn't hear. Well, I mean, I'm not sure that I would have heard of any reports of people being burned up on the street.
Can I ask my punchline to this, which is, very cursory in its conclusion? But could it be that what we saw on 9/11 was a demonstration of SDI designed to show the leaders of the world what would befall them if they lifted a finger to stop the Bush administration and the rest of the American government in its coming misadventures?
Bingo. Why was I allowed to find all of this evidence?
So it was a demonstration of, quite possibly, SDI.
Yep.
Well, then some of the other nations have a pretty good hint about this, then. Russia, possibly.
Instantaneously.
Right.
I didn't hear you so well.
I said some of the other nations then probably have an idea of what happened, possibly Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the other nations, they know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we only have 1 minute.
Let me throw two things at you then, okay?
Yep.
Interesting news. I don't know if anybody's heard. Oprah is having her own 9/11 show on the 10th.
Okay.
And she's keeping top secret who her guests are going to be, so we can only hope she finally gets Willie Rodriguez on and maybe some of the guys from Loose Change, who knows.
And Dr. Judy Wood.
And Dr. Judy Wood, that would be even better. The more the merrier.
They won't have me on.
No.
You know why?
Well, we know why.
This is kind of interesting. You saw the History Channel?
Yes.
Right.
And the History Channel did a hit job.
Yep.
They want to make the truth movement look bad.
Yes, 20 seconds.
Okay, why don't you have people talking about far-out stories on if you want to make the truth movement look bad?
Yeah.
They didn't want to do that.
And so far in an online poll, 75% of New York doesn't want Rudy talking at the 9/11 ceremonies, which is pretty interesting.
If you go to my Dirt 3 page, you can listen to
there
Rudy
he is.
Talk about his dirt trucks. Bring it in.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And again, those of you listening who didn't get to the site, drjudywood.com, drjudywood.com.
Thank you, Judy. You're one of my heroes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and we'll stay in touch.
Love you, Judy.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Coming up is Free Speech Radio News. and it's underwritten by Salam Clothing of Plainfield, Vermont, and Salam the Boutique, located at 40 State Street in downtown Montpellier, introducing a funky new world of fashion. They can be reached at 223-4300. The preceding program presented the opinions of its guests and producers and did not necessarily reflect an opinion of WGDR or its licensee, Goddard College. And come on by and say hello to my new duck and all my 16 chickens and the fighting cocks. All right, let's see what we've got here.